Man, is it okay if I pray on behalf of all of us? Hey, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Father, we come together today in one spirit to know that you're with us, and to know that you're with us to be a father to our lives. Father, our prayer is that our lives can be shaped by your love for us. Our prayer is that, man, that we can be as little children, even as we walk in a world that's filled with so many cares. Thank you, Father, that you are able to cleanse our conscience from the cares of the world, that you're able to come and walk with us and show us how you've taken thought of our life, and that you've taken care for our life exceedingly abundantly, all that we could ask or think. I just thank you, Father, that you open our eyes so that we could see you carrying the burden of our lives, and that we're able to walk in this world as little children. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And if you know, I know there's lots of things that could ail our lives. And if you're experiencing any weakness in your body, if there's anybody out there experiencing any weakness in their bodies, Father, we just ask that they have strength for that weakness in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Father, that should it be some issue in their heart that's bringing forth stress or fear that's causing them weakness in their body, I just thank you, Father, that you circumcise their heart from that fear with the word of your love for them, with the truth that you're their Father, that you're with them to be their Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. In light of last week's message, and if you guys notice the way that I preach, if you go back and look, they kind of build on each other. I don't really realize I'm doing that. It just happens that way. This time I'm starting to realize it, right? Like I was all captivated with this thing, and I'm like, why am I captivated? Oh, that goes right with the forgiveness of sin. So in light of last week's message and Jared's message several weeks ago about the forgiveness of sin and the remission of sin, it's the perfect time to talk about judgment and what judgment's all about, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I love it when a plan comes together. I love when a thing comes together, right? Like sometimes I can be frustrated while the thing isn't coming together or while it's being built. Like I just want to see the thing come together, right? I'm learning to appreciate the building of the thing. I'm learning not to despise the building and to find the joy in the building. But I tell you what, there's nothing like a plan coming together. You know the way it feels when you're making a puzzle and you're busy trying to find the corner pieces, and you can get all frustrated trying to find the corner pieces and figure out the middle. But as the puzzle comes together and you can see the picture clearly, man, that's a nice feeling, right? It just feels like, yes, that's nice. Well, man, it's the same way with the gospel, right? It's a beautiful thing when all the pieces of the gospel come together and they all come together in unison and you see the gospel clearly for what it is and what it's all about. It's like the puzzle coming together and you start to see judgment and forgiveness and you start to see them within the picture that the gospel painted, right? And so for so many years, we've had all these different definitions of what forgiveness is and what judgment is and all those things we weren't really understanding right. And that was messing up the picture of the gospel. And what's happened now is we spent so many years talking about individual topics. And sometimes, if I'm being honest, it felt laborious, right? Like we're talking about this topic. And now we're talking about that topic and that topic. And the things seem to be separated. And now what's happened is all the topics are coming together and they're blending together as one. Right? And you're starting to see the picture in all the different topics like judgment and forgiveness in light of God as Father, right? Which is what we need. And you're starting to see the way they all work together and seeing these things for what they really were, even though it felt laborious sometimes that we're focusing so much on this thought and so much on that thought. Man, we needed those thoughts to be straightened out in order to actually see the picture of God as Father, right? Glory to God. And so the forgiveness of sin, it's a great segue to judgment. Those two things really go hand in hand in God serving people with his life. And even just the subtle things of how we explain the gospel is resonating in the deepest part of our beings, guys. I mean, for so long, I had to be unwound from thinking about how I needed to serve God. And did you see, I just talked about how the judgment and the forgiveness of sin go hand in hand with God serving people. That used to be like a blasphemous thought. Let it never be said. I used to feel like Peter. Let it never be said that God would serve me. What are you talking about? God's going to serve you. What are you talking about? The thing that makes God the happiest is for him to serve us. What are you talking about, man? No, we're supposed to serve him. And then we're trying to know God as Father from the perspective of us serving him or serving the church or doing things in the earth. And we can't see God as Father because for God to be Father, it specifically speaks about him coming and serving you. So the forgiveness of sin, as Jared so beautifully pointed out, and the next week message, it's about God drawing people to himself so that they can partake of their inheritance. It's about God also having an inheritance, having a portion, and you're his inheritance. And you're his portion. It's about him desiring to partake of his inheritance, which is you, but then drawing you to him so you could partake of your inheritance. And the judgment, God's judgment, is unto the manifestation of eternal life. God's judgment is unto the manifestation of eternal life. God's judgment is unto life. It's not unto condemnation. Right? Glory to God. And so we'll pick up with these verses. I want to try and stick around an hour. So hard for me. God bless you guys. God had to raise up a peculiar people for me, right? Because it takes a peculiar people to want to listen for like several hours, right? And then you guys that were in there this morning, now listening here again, God bless you guys, man. The Lord has brought forth great endurance inside of you. Hallelujah. And some of you guys have heard me talk about judgment already. And I would say that all those things are true. And what I would just say is they keep coming just a little bit clearer, right? Where the picture becomes a little more filled out. That we come and preach about judgment and paint it like part of the picture. And it becomes just a little more clear. And then you're like, oh, man. And you see how relational judgment actually is, where we had it as kind of like not relational at all, right? We don't see it in the confines of father and son or father and daughter. We've seen it outside of the confines of that. And judgment can only actually be understood properly inside of the confines of God as Father, right? So John chapter 9, verse 39. And again, probably need to read the whole two chapters. But that will take forever. So I encourage you guys, when you're studying the scriptures, I picked out a few and I'll give some background. But if you're interested in studying the scriptures after the message and you want to go look at it, read the couple of chapters leading up to it. Maybe like at least 8 and 9, right? And 10. 8, 9, and 10. And read those and try and look at it as a painting instead of a mathematic equation. And try and look at it not individually verse by verse, but try and ask God to show you what is the whole of these things trying to communicate. If there's one sentence that's trying to be said in these three verses, what does it look like, right? But John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not, that they which don't see might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, man, that might be better for you, because then you would have no sin. But now you say that you see already, therefore your sin remaineth." Right here, these guys are thinking it's a disparaging thing for Jesus to come and say that they're blind. And Jesus is like, well, if you were blind, then you wouldn't have any sin. But because you think you see and you say you see, man, now your sin remains. Right? I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. But notice what Jesus says there about judgment. And I don't know if you guys realize it, but our understanding of terms puts like the horse blinders on us, where sometimes we struggle to see what actually is being said there because we're looking at it through our own understanding of things. And sometimes I read these things and I'm like, how did I not ever see this more clearly? But notice, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world." Then he explains it. "That they which see not might see." Okay, So Jesus is saying the judgment will cause you to see something you don't see. What he's actually saying is the judgment will heal your blindness. He's telling you the purpose of the judgment is to heal your blindness. The purpose of the judgment is to heal your sight. That doesn't really fit with our idea of judgment, does it? If I tell you I'm bringing judgment to your house, what do you think's coming? Trouble. Trouble's coming. And you may be sending me a message about how you a card-carrying member of the NRA. If you think you're bringing judgment to my house, you might not like what you find when you get there. But Jesus is talking about, yeah, I am bringing judgment to your house. And guess what? It's going to be good. You're going to like it there. Right? So just to give a small little summary of what's going on there, just to give some context to what's going on there when Jesus says those things, because they don't just come out of the blue. There's a whole lot of thing going on there. Jesus and his disciples had just come upon a blind guy, right? At the beginning of chapter 9. They had just come upon a blind guy, and then Jesus heals the man's blindness, right? And then he says the reason he restored the man's sight is so that it could be clearly seen that God desires to love people unto life. The reason we've come upon this guy is because I am the word about the Father in the earth. And I'm going to restore his sight and heal his blindness that you might be able to clearly see that the desire in God's heart is to love your life so much that you can live and never die. That you might have your eyes opened to what is really in God's heart. That's what Jesus says there. You can go read it. But that you might know the works which God worketh. And if you go and look that up, that you might know what God is preoccupied with. That you might know how God rolls. That you might know what it looks like when God manifests himself to sinners. That you might know how God do what he do and why he do what he do and what is in his heart when he do it. I healed that guy. Right? That's what he says. Now listen, if you know the account, the disciples, they were not so concerned with that. They were like distracted with who sinned. Right? They come upon the blind guy and they're busy wanting to know who sinned that this guy's blind. Him or his parents? Well, the guy's born blind, so I don't know how it could be him. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I guess he sinned in the womb. But they wanted to know whose sin is responsible for the blindness. Well, if you look at it in the Greek, what Jesus says there, that's what he says to them in response is, that's not relevant here. That's not the point of us coming upon this blind guy. He says, the reason we've come upon this blind guy, so that in his sight being restored, you might see the heart of God. And in seeing the beauty of God's thoughts towards you and your life, your blindness can be healed. And you can see that God is with you to comfort you from your affliction and to be a father to you. That's the reason we've come upon this blind guy. That's what he says there. We've come upon this blind guy so that your eyes could actually be opened to the fact that God is with you to be a father to you in your life. God is with you to father his life in you free from your works. We actually come upon this blind guy because you're blind. And you're not knowing God. You're not knowing the heart of God. You're not knowing that God is Father. You're not even thinking God is with you. Much less that he's with you to be a father. You're busy thinking God's with you to be the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so you guys are blind. And so when we come upon this blind guy, man, we haven't come upon this blind guy so we can discern who sinned. The reason we've come upon this blind guy is that in me, manifested in the earth as the Father, remember, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We think that's Jesus going around doing what he do separate from the Father. But that's Jesus. I am the Father. Let's see what the Father does. And so what I've done is I've healed this guy's sight because you were blind to the Father, just like John would come and say, and I'll get into it later, no one has seen God at any time but the Son. He has come to interpret God for the world. He has come to bring God out of the shadows of the carnal mind. Jesus says, we've come upon this blind guy because you guys are blind to who God really is. You haven't seen him. I'm going to interpret God for you right now. I'm going to interpret the goodness in God's heart towards sinners for you right now. I'm going to declare God with you as the Father of your life right now by healing this guy's sight. That's judgment. The judgment is God's your Father. The judgment Jesus brought into the earth is that God is with you to father your life free from your works. That's the judgment Jesus brought into the earth. Well, glory to God. Now, this also all comes on the heels of the previous chapter, right? And you guys have heard me speak about these things many times, right? You've never seen everything that there is to be seen in any verse or any picture in the Bible. Because I promise you, you guys know I've talked about Jesus in the temple ad nauseum. Ad nauseum. And if you think that I think I've uncovered everything there is to be seen there, no, not even close, man. When I go to South Carolina in June, my whole message is going to be about the account of the woman caught in adultery. And I'm going to explain the whole gospel in God through just that one account. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But what Jesus just says here, for judgment I'm coming to the earth. It comes on the heels of the previous chapter, and Jesus standing up in the midst of the temple on the last day of the great feast, and Jesus declaring himself to be the light of the world. You guys remember that? Jesus stands up in the temple on the last day of the great feast and he says, I am the light of the world. So what we have in the previous chapter, we have John. Love me some John, huh? You guys love John? I mean, that guy, I mean, what a tender heart, right? What a tender, tender heart. Such a soft spoken, but such a powerful articulation of the gospel. In the previous chapter, when John records, in John chapter 8, he records Jesus saying he's the light of the world. But now, in chapter 9, John records Jesus saying, for judgment, I've come into the world. He's got those two thoughts. Now, those two thoughts are not separate. Those two thoughts are one. And so if we put those things together, Jesus says, the light has come into the world for judgment. Well, what is the light coming into the world for? For those that don't see can see. For those that can't see because of darkness can now see because the light manifested. So for judgment, the light has come into the world that it might shine a light on the truth about who and what God is and how God rolls. So that our sight could be healed. I'll get to this at the end, but we're busy thinking the account of the blind guy is talking about this one guy. It's talking about us. The world was blind. We were blind. What do you think John's talking about in chapter 1 when he says no one's seen the Father? I'm telling you guys, we get to John 8, 9, 10, and we completely forget how John started chapter 1. And John's talking about the judgment in chapter 1. And he starts out by saying, you've all been blind. None of you have known God. The only one who's known God is the Son. And then it comes and say, the Son sees God is Father. And that means a very specific thing. It doesn't just mean that, oh, I come from God. Right? Even the angels come from God. But at no time did any of the angels call God Father, or at no time did the Father ever call the angels his Son. So what does it mean? It means something there. Right? So when John puts those two things together, we can say it this way. The light is the manifestation of the judgment. The light is the manifestation of the judgment. Okay? And so what's the judgment then? And I've already hit you guys with it, but as you guys know how I like to do it, I'm going to hit it from like 50,000 different ways. So that's the question you want to ask yourself. Jesus said, you don't get to decide what the judgment of God is. You don't get to decide. God has revealed what his judgment is in the Word made flesh in Jesus. And so we're going to look at the judgment from that perspective. Not our own perspective, not the world's perspective, not the carnal mind's perspective, not religion's perspective, not well-intentioned people's perspective that never seen God, that still walk around on this earth blind trying to serve God as if he needs anything from any human. Right? But not from that perspective, because Jesus says, for judgment I am come into the earth. So like I just did when I connect it back to John chapter 1, if we're going to understand judgment properly, we got to go all the way back to John chapter 1. Because John begins talking about the judgment that Jesus came back into the earth for in the first chapter. He's already closed the book on each chapter or each verse. We'd get to the judgment of God and we'd know exactly what it was because we would remember John chapter 1. So you can't understand the judgment that Jesus brought into the earth if you don't understand that it's mentioned in John chapter 1. If you don't see what's going on in John chapter 1. So here's how John begins his gospel. Does everybody know how John begins his gospel? I'll tell you anyway. I know y'all know. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The point is, the Word is God. That's the point. The Word is God. John's trying to establish that from the beginning. This Word I'm talking about, it is God. And what he's getting at is everything there is to know about God, everything there is to ascertain about God is contained in this Word because this Word is God. There is no knowledge of God outside of this Word. I don't care how many verses you think you know. I don't care how many verses you think you can quote. You ain't the apostle. You have not established the foundation from which we're going to interpret God. John come and said, the knowledge of God is contained in this Word. All of the knowledge of God is contained in this Word. Within this Word is contained all the knowledge of who God is and what God's about. There ain't nothing to be seen or known about God outside of this Word. This Word, within this Word is contained the knowledge of how God gets down. Right? We know this is how God gets down. Right? Like we all get down a certain way. Like if we turn on the music in here, we'd all find out real quick how we get down. Some of us would get down by sitting down. Some of us would get down by, you know, some of us would get down getting all of it going, right? But the music would come on and real quick we see how we get down. Well, John's like, within this Word is contained the knowledge of how God gets down. It's contained the knowledge of how God manifests himself, what it looks like when God is manifested. That's what he's saying there. Now, I just spent a whole lot of time talking about what that means. But follow me with this, because John doesn't end with that thought. He says all this about this Word. And then he continues to build on that thought. And that Word. And this Word. And the Word that is God, that within God is contained all of the knowledge about God, who and what he is, that Word that contained everything there is to know about God, that Word was made flesh. He doesn't stop there. He tells us why it was made flesh. This Word about God was made flesh to dwell amongst us so that we could behold the glory of the Father in him. Do you know what glory means? It means to have an opinion or to ascertain the truth about something or someone. And it always results in having a good opinion. So John is telling us we were blind. No one had seen God at any time. Now this Word that is God, it put on human flesh so that we who were blind could actually see the truth about God. And in seeing the truth about God, we could begin to have a good opinion about him, i.e. that he's with us to be a father to our life, and he don't want nothing from us in return. So John's talking about the blindness that we don't think he's talking about till chapter 9. We don't think he's talking about the blindness till chapter 9. He's talking about the blindness in chapter 1. What's the blindness? No one's seen God at any time. No one's known God. We think John's not talking about the judgment till chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. John's talking about the judgment in chapter 1. What's the judgment that John's talking about? He says this word entered the earth and dwelt with us so that we could behold the glory of the Father in him. So that we could ascertain the truth about who and what God is and how God rolls and what's in God's heart towards humans by looking at him. Jesus said, I come into the earth for judgment. I come into the earth to reveal the glory of the Father. That people who were blind and couldn't see the Father could have their eyes popped open and they could clearly see. That's what he's saying there. So judgment is already being alluded to in chapter 1. It gives shape to what the judgment is. Blindness, already alluded to in chapter 1. It gives shape to what the blindness really is. The light that entered the world, already being introduced in chapter 1, before Jesus gets up in chapter 8 and says, I am the light of the world. If you keep reading in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the light that lights up every human. Do you know what that means? Jesus entered into the earth and shined a light on the truth about who God is in front of every person in the world. For judgment, he came into the earth to shine a light on the truth about who God is as Father. That's the judgment, right? Glory to God. You guys following that? Is that making sense? Judgment. Jesus says in John chapter 5, the Father has given all judgment unto the Son. Doesn't he say that? The Father has given all judgment unto the Son. Now, what do we think that means? Jesus is going to come and judge for people, some people and against some people? He's going to come and approve of some people and condemn some people? Is that what we think? The Father has given it into my hands to open the eyes of the blind. That's what he's saying there. The Father has given it into my hands to open the eyes of the blind. So when Jesus says the Father's given all judgment unto the Son, the thing he's getting at is that the Father is busy wanting to be known. He's wanting to be known by us. You know, one of the greatest desires we have is to know and be known. We desire to find a people or someone that knows the deepest part of our being and loves us. That sees it all, that even the things we feel insecure or ashamed about, we want to see somebody that knows our deepest part of our being and loves us and wants to be known by us. Well, God's busy knowing us. He can see into the depths of our being, but he's busy wanting to be known. He's sitting around wanting to be known, but he's got a problem. No one in the world is knowing him. I mean, knowing that God exists is not knowing him. Even the devils believe God exists. But I promise you, they're not busy knowing him as Father. They're not busy calling him Father. And so Jesus is getting at, listen, man, the Father's wanting to be known. And he's not just wanting to be known as in he exists. He's wanting to be known according to the goodness that's in his heart towards the world, because the world is not knowing him as Father. That's what he's busy wanting. So God's all the time wanting to be a Father to us, but we're blind. We can't see him. We aren't knowing him as Father. Now Jesus is saying, because the world is not seeing God accurately, because the world is not seeing that God is with them to be a Father to their lives, he has given it into my hands to make him known to the world. That's what it means when he says that the Father has given all judgment unto me. Jesus is saying the Father has given it into my hands to come and declare him. The Father has given it into my hands to come and interpret his heart for the world. The Father has given it into my hands to come and manifest who and what the Father is in the midst of the earth, that in that manifesting, people's sight can be healed, and all the world that didn't know God at any time could then begin to know him as Father, because that is eternal life. And what's the Father busy wanting you to do? To live and not die. And he sees the only way you can live and not die is if you can know him as Father. But now we're blind. We're not knowing him as Father. So we're dying. The Father has given it into the hands of Jesus to manifest the Father's love for the world in the earth so that our blindness can be healed. Hallelujah. That's the judgment. You see that? That's the judgment. What judgment? To make the Father known. To make the Father known. You have to first know what the Father's after before you can even begin to ascertain what his judgment would be. We think the Father's after us behaving all his orders and rules. We think the Father's after busy making sure we do all the right things. No. The Father's after fathering his life in you. He's after you living and not dying. And just as John 17 says, what does it say? This is eternal life, that you know the one true God. So the Father knows if they can have their eyes opened to what it means that I'm with them to be a father to their life, then they can have eternal life. Jesus, do you think you can go into the earth? And do you think you can make us known so that those who were blind might see the truth? That will be the judgment. Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You guys see all that? You see how we're like spinning together all of John? I promise you, and I say this a lot, and I hope it blesses you, but even should it not bless somebody till 30 years from now and a young guy that's got a passion for God and studying the scriptures come along and listen to this, the book of John is like an artist painting a painting. And each verse, each chapter is like a brushstroke, painting a painting, so that you could see the whole painting. And so all these things in John, yes, you can see them individually, and you can be blessed by them individually, but they're trying to paint a whole picture of a thing. We want to not just see the individual things. We want to see the picture. If we're busy coming together talking about judgment in the sense of God going to judge America because of a certain president being elected, well, whether you like the president or not, glory to God, I might agree with you that the guy shouldn't be president. What's that got to do with the judgment of God? Because the only any judgment God would bring to America would look like God coming and telling America that I am with you to be a father to your life. You don't need a president to father your life. I am with you to father my life in you. I am with you to serve you with the peace and the love and the joy you need. That would be what the judgment of God would look like if you want to talk about the judgment of God coming to America. For judgment, Jesus came into the earth that he might make God known as Father. So whatever way you want to talk about judgment, if it isn't wrapped up in Jesus making God known, you don't understand judgment. John goes on to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And yet how much of our understanding about God comes from things that we've never seen in Jesus? You know how many times people quote the Old Testament to me when I'm telling them these things? As if I haven't read that. As if I don't know what those verses say. But do you know what else I know? Is that I know that the word that's contained in the Old Testament was made flesh in Jesus. And I know that it says I hadn't seen God accurately yet and that this word is the only accurate depiction of God. I also know that Peter comes. You know, Peter, the apostle. I don't care how great we think our ministry is or how much of a prophet we like to call ourselves or how many likes our church ministry page has on Facebook, you ain't the Apostle Peter. And apostleship is not found in likes on Facebook, although it does help us get the message out. The Lord's like, hey, you might have convinced him to share and now you're talking him out of it. Peter come and said, the scriptures are not open to a private interpretation. And then he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, talking of Jesus. So what he says was, there was a veil over our eyes because John just come and said we were all blind. There was a veil over our eyes. We weren't knowing God. We were coming with a private interpretation about what these scriptures meant. Peter come and said, we got a more sure word of prophecy of what all those things were actually talking about and trying to reveal in this man, Jesus. So any interpretation you have about God that isn't seen in Jesus is what Peter would call a private interpretation. a private interpretation. So you guys show me where Jesus brought a plague. From our understanding of it. Show me where Jesus made people sick. Show me where Jesus killed people. Boy, we got a lot of private interpretations, don't we? Oh, we were blind. What are you going to do? You know? I mean, we were born blind. I'm just joking. I'm making that funny joke because of the story there. So Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said he doesn't do anything he doesn't see the Father doing. The whole point there is, I'm the Father with you. Right? What is it, Philip that says, show us the Father, or was it Thomas? Show us the Father and we'll be happy. Oh, Jesus is like, how long do I got to be with you, man? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You're busy wanting to know the Father? Well, the Father has given it into my hands to make him known. For judgment I've come into the earth. The judgment I've come into the earth for is to make God known as Father. You're busy asking me to show you the Father. It's like when I was all the time asking God for a word, for a word. Give me a word for my life. Give me a word for my life. I don't despise anybody if they were there. I walked through that for a long time. Always needing a word, always wanting a word. And one day God said to me, Craig, have you considered the word I gave you in Jesus? Have you considered that everything you're looking to get from these other words are only to believe that I'm with you? To be a father to your life, to defend your life, to defend your name, to uphold your life? That's really what you're looking for from all these other words. You're thinking that if you can get somebody to give you a word about your future or about your business or about your ministry or about whatever, you're thinking that will convince you God is with you. And God come and said, Greg, but have you considered the word I gave you in Jesus? Because that's actually the only prophetic word that will persuade your heart that I'm with you. And he didn't despise me for being there. But he saw, let us start feeding this child meat and not milk. Right? I think it didn't hurt him in the sense that he was disappointed with me, but all God's busy wanting is for you to know he's with you to be a father. And I think that he feels hurt for us that we're all the time needing some new word, right? To believe he's with us. And so he comes to minister to us the word. And that's actually persuaded my heart. Listen, when I tell people that, they get upset. They think I'm against the prophetic. I'm like, no, I'm just making what's crooked in the prophetic straight. Because if the prophetic actually started talking about the real word of prophecy, we might find that we don't need some new word, right? I remember when we were starting the church and I was broken down thinking, what am I thinking? I can't come start the church. The devil told me, you're not Jesus. How are you going to start the church, man? Because I was busy praying that prayer. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And right, like a week before we were moving to start the church, I heard the serpent say, you're not Jesus. What are you doing praying that prayer? And I was like, yeah, I'm not Jesus. And I immediately started thinking, I can't start this church. What the heck am I thinking? What am I doing? I said, we're going to take this money and we're going to go to the beach and we're going to parasail and jet ski and get a nice tan and drink margaritas. But I didn't want to tell the people in the church that yet because, listen, you know, they were real happy we were going to start a church. So I was keeping the thing going, putting on a good show in the flesh, right? Keep everybody thinking, yeah, we're going to do this wonderful work. We're going to start this church, glory to God. In my mind, I'm thinking, we ain't doing nothing. By the time we leave this place, they won't see us no more and I can deal with the shame. I'm just being honest. Well, God saw where I was at, and he sent a guy there that gave me a word. And he read all my mail. And you know what he said before he said anything to me? He told me how he's from New Mexico. He'd never been to this church. He came last week, and nothing happened. He came this week, and all of a sudden, he knew why he was here. And he stood back, he pointed at me, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And he started quoting to me the very thing I was praying for myself that the devil told me I couldn't pray. Now, all of a sudden, I felt great. Do you know why? Because I felt like God is with me. That's why I felt great. I was like, the Lord is with me. He has come upon me. We're going to set the captives free. Roar! And all it was that God's with me. It was that simple. Well, listen, it's not that that word was bad. It's not that God despised giving me that word. It's not that he despised growing me up into maturity. But I promise you, that word couldn't actually satisfy me, because it wasn't 6 months after we moved here and started the church that I needed another word. And I'm busy asking God if he's with me. Is he in this? You know what I did? I messaged that same guy back, asking for a word. Because I took his number. Listen, for those of you that have been in this system, you know what it's like. Somebody gives you an accurate word, you take their information, because you may need another accurate word. You know what I'm saying? And you want to go to the guy that's got the accurate word, so to speak. Jesus is the accurate word. You know what that guy messaged me back? At the time, I thought he didn't give me a word, and I was angry. At the time, I realized he actually gave me the most powerful word there ever was. And what he messaged me back and said was, "Brother, you're the prophet. I'm in need of the word that's in you." And I was not feeling so happy at that moment, because I'm busy thinking, what freaking word is in me? What is this guy talking about? But because I could see this guy didn't want to indulge me, you know, when someone don't indulge you, you try to find the next person that will. Right? We think we need to be indulged. It's okay. It's okay, man. God's with us. He loves us. He doesn't despise us. So I asked God, what word is he talking about that's in me? What is he talking about? I'm the prophet, and he needs the word that's in me. What is he saying? And that's when God said, "Greg, have you considered the word I gave you in Jesus?" Oh, and that began, with those of you that have been in this church and have known me for a long time, the beautiful journey of unwrapping the word made flesh in Jesus, which is why the church is called Gospel Revolution Church, and the passion in our heart is revealing Christ to the world, because that is the prophetic word, right? The more sure word of prophecy. So if we put all the things together in John's gospel, up into chapter 9 that we got to, Jesus says, "For judgment I am come into the earth. For judgment I have come into the earth. I have seen the Father, and I am come to declare him to you. I am come to interpret God for you so you can also know him. I have been in his heart. I've seen the heart of the Father. I've seen what it means for God to be Father and for God to be a Father to your life. I've seen what it looks like. I know what it is. And so I have come into the earth to bring God out of the shadows of the carnal mind. I have come to declare a decree concerning God, that he is your Father, and the thing that is in his heart towards you is to father his indestructible life in you, free from your works. I am here to tell you God is longing for you to know him as the one that will father your life so that you don't perish and you partake of eternal life, everlasting life." That's what Jesus is saying, "I'm here to tell you." That's John. If you wanted to sum up the first 9 chapters in a paragraph, that's it. That's the judgment. Explain judgment. You know, we have different meanings of the word judgment. You guys know that, right? Like, we have our own idea of judgment, but judgment is unto life, not condemnation. And so the judgment Jesus brought into the earth is not in the sense of condemnation or in the sense of condemning someone. It's in the sense of issuing a decree or an edict, right? Where you come with a word about something. That's why it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And do you know what I even want to say to you? You guys have heard me say this. In the beginning was faith, and faith was with God, and faith was God, and faith was made flesh. In the beginning was grace, and grace was with God, and grace was made flesh. In the beginning was the law, and the law was with God, and the law was made flesh. In the beginning was judgment, and judgment was with God, and judgment is God, and judgment was made flesh. It's a decree that it's talking about. So the judgment Jesus is talking about bringing into the earth, God's judgment, is talking about a decree, issuing a decree about something. It's deciding a matter. And in this instance, the matter is God. It's interpreting God. What do the Supreme Court justices do? Do they make laws? Do the Supreme Court justices condemn people? They don't, do they? They look at a matter and they decide the matter and then issue a decree. And that's judgment. And so the matter before all of the world, if you want to call the world the Supreme Court, it was a heavy matter. We're busy trying to decide God, right? I mean, the matter before us is God. And Jesus came into the earth to interpret that matter for us, to interpret God for us, so that he could issue a decree. Well, I've seen the matter. I've weighed all the evidence. I know you guys are busy talking about this death and the darkness and the sin. I know you guys are talking about all that, and now you're trying to weigh that in light of God. I see you're trying to wrestle with what does God want, what is God after, who is God, all those things. Well, let me come into the earth. I'm going to come into the earth in the likeness of one of the ancient Israel judges, and I'm going to look at the matter before you, and I'm going to interpret it, and I'm going to issue a decree or a judgment about it. That's what he's talking about. Next week, I'll probably talk about God as judge. And we'll look at it from the Old Testament book of Judges. And that will help because it will build on this. Right? And some of you guys that are attorneys, man, if you get any great examples or sayings, man, save it for yourself to share with your friends, but also share it with me because that might help me explain it to people better. Right? You have a law background. You might see things and understand things that can be examples that can help people get it. Right? So Jesus entered the world to issue a decree about God. If you read the book of John or the Gospel of John, he just said previously, before he even mentions judgment, John chapter 3 says that God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. So the judgment ain't about a condemning kind of a judgment. Neither is it talking about condemnation. Because Jesus says, I come into the world for judgment, and he says, God sent me into the world for judgment. But then John says, God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. So the judgment can't be the condemning kind, or in a condemning sense. It can't be that way. And it says that the reason God sent Jesus into the world was to save the world. And so do you know how Jesus would save the world? Do you know how ultimately salvation has come through the man Christ Jesus? It's by issuing a decree that can cause people to know God is Father and that he's with them, the Father of their life. That's how salvation is found in Jesus. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you know the one true God. And that means that you see God is with you to father your life. That's how he saves. His judgment is he comes and says, this is who God is. And we're like, I'm not an orphan. Man, I've been busy in the world carrying the burden of my life. Every day of my life, all the time, I'm thinking about how to care for my own life. All my thoughts are about preserving my life, protecting my life. All my thoughts are about how can I gather peace and love and joy to myself. I've been busy living like an orphan. And I'm not an orphan. God's with me to be a father. He's with me to comfort me. He's with me to serve me with the peace and the love and the joy I long for. Abba! This is eternal life, right? It says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba. You see what he says there? The reason God's trying to get you the Holy Spirit is so that you can know him as Father. You thought you had the Holy Spirit so you could pray in tongues? You thought you had the Holy Spirit so you could do signs, wonders, and miracles? Now, don't listen to what I say with the carnal mind. That doesn't mean it's evil to pray in tongues. Neither does it mean signs, wonders, and miracles are evil. But those things are only so good as it reveals God as Father. And otherwise, they're just clanging cymbals. You know, Becky and I, we ordered this food from this woman. We love Italian food, and so we're always searching for Italian food. And so we ordered this food. And I don't want to blame anybody, right? I don't want to blame this woman or Becky, because Becky didn't have nothing to do with it. It's me and my stiff neck, right? So we ordered this food, and we got the food, and it wasn't exactly fresh. And so Becky all the time trying to tell me the food is sour. Like the moment we open it up, she's like, there's something wrong with it. I'm like, no, it's great. I'm the Hulk, man. Becky's got this super smell power. So like we open that food and immediately she's like, it's sour. There's something wrong with it. And I was like, no, it's wonderful. You don't know what you're talking about. And so Becky quietly fades into the background and stops eating the food. Meanwhile, I'm busy eating the food every day. Do you know why? Because I'm blind. I can't see the food sour. I'm blind to the sourness of the food. And listen, man, I keep eating that food. And I'm eating it because I'm blind to it's sour. There's all this food. I keep eating it. You know what happens? I start having stomach aches all the time. Like in the middle of the night, I'm waking up with these horrible stomach aches. But I'm blind to the food being sour. So don't you know I wake up the next day and eat the food again? And I did it again. And then the fourth day, I'm busy going to make myself a sandwich with some of the remnants of the food. And so the food that was sour to begin with, I'm 5 days later, still tending myself to it. God's like, if we could just get the gospel in this guy, no one will turn him from it. He is a stiff-necked people. Now, I tell you all that so we could get an idea of what judgment would look like in that example. The way judgment would look there is Becky comes to me and says, Greg, the food is sour. For judgment, Becky came to me. So that though I was blind and not seeing that the food was sour, in her coming and telling me the food was sour, my sight could be healed. That's how judgment would look there. Now listen, it wasn't Becky's judgment that condemned me to the stomach pain. Don't you guys know I had the stomach pain before she came to me as like, dude, you can't eat that today. She'd been going crazy. This last day when I'm over there trying to make myself a sandwich, I open up the thing and she, you can't eat that. Now, her judgment that the food was sour isn't what condemned me to the stomach pain. The sour food had condemned me to the stomach pain. Didn't John come and say that we were already standing in condemnation before Jesus came? We think God's the one that brings condemnation to us, like he's the one serving condemnation. We're already standing in condemnation, and God tries to come with a decree that can save us from the condemnation we're already standing in. We're blind to what's condemning us, and God comes to open our eyes so we can see it and be saved from the condemnation. Glory to God. So Becky didn't, I was already, man, my stomach was already hurting before Becky said anything. For judgment, Becky came to me. Not to condemn me. She didn't judge me for eating the food. She didn't say, what type of a heathen are you? And she could have said that though, right? That's not what she said though. She came to me not to condemn me. She came to tell me about that food and how sour it was and that she wasn't joking when she said it. And she was like aghast that I was coming back to it. The reason she came to tell me, that's judgment. She issued a verdict about the food. She issued a decree about the food. The reason that she came to issue that decree to me was so my blindness could be healed and I could be saved from the condemnation of the stomach pain. For judgment, Jesus came into the earth to issue a decree about God. That could reveal God as with us, as a father to our lives, to father his life in us free from our works, that the condemnation we were standing in hadn't come from him, that he never condemned us for our sin. Know ye not that Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, woman. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. There's the woman feeling condemned in the midst of the temple, thinking that God is the one that was condemning her because of her life, because of her sin. Well, there's Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's the Father standing there. And he's bringing judgment into the situation. And the judgment isn't about judging this woman or judging the Pharisees. The judgment is revealing God as Father and how God rolls, how God manifests himself, how God do what he do. And when God found himself in the place of a sinner, the way God manifested himself was he didn't condemn the sinner. He came with a word or a revelation about God with her to remove the accusations, to heal her from the sin of death that was hanging over her and to justify her. He revealed this is how God is with sinners. Opened her eyes. Boop. She was blind, thinking the condemnation came from God. There's Jesus, the word about God made flesh. There he is, manifesting the Father right in the midst of the temple so that those who were blind might see. Why do you think he goes right off into, and we come upon a blind guy? Just like I said, the blind guy isn't about just this blind guy. It's about all of us. The woman caught in adultery is not about that one woman. It's about all of us. We were the woman caught in adultery because we had been fornicating with the works of our own hands, trying to be justified. We had been fornicating with the works of our own hands, trying to clothe upon ourselves with life. We had gone a whoring after other gods. And we thought God condemned us for it. But there's God. There's Jesus standing right next to us. We thought he was the one condemning us, but there's the Pharisees over there. They were of their father, the devil. It was the devil accusing us and condemning us, not God. For judgment, Jesus came into the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus is the light that entered the world. What's the reason that the light would enter the world? Well, the reason the light entered the world was for judgment. And this judgment, what was the purpose of this judgment that entered the world? To heal mankind's blindness. What did Becky's judgment about the sour food enter my ears for? To heal my blindness. Wasn't to condemn me. So, again, guys, we're going to connect this to the resurrection, and then we'll leave it there. Because that's the ultimate judgment Jesus brought into the earth is seen in the resurrection, right? But Jesus entered the world that is not knowing God as their father. That's the world he entered into. He's like a root out of a dry ground. He entered into a world where mankind is not living as little children because their mind is filled with caring for their own lives. And so Jesus came into a world where mankind is carrying the burden of their own lives. And the reason we're carrying the burden of our own lives is because we cannot see that God is with us to be a father to our lives and to comfort us from our affliction. We're blind to that. It's as if we think we're all alone in the cold, heartless, widow world with no one to love us and no one to care for us. And so we've taken the care upon ourselves. That's the world Jesus entered into. And he entered into that world to open our eyes to the truth, right? He entered into that world so those who did not see God as Father, they didn't see God was with them to be a father to their life, that they would see God with them to serve them with peace, to serve them with joy, to serve them with love. That's why he entered the world. It's for judgment. Jesus came into the world. The life that manifested in the flesh of Jesus when God raised him from the dead is the judgment. That is the judgment. When God raised Jesus from the dead, the life that manifested in the flesh of Jesus is the judgment that Jesus brought into the earth. And you might say, well, what is the judgment then? What does that look like? And the judgment sounds like this. God desires to be with you, to be a father to you. The judgment is God is with you to father your life. Well, how do we see that's the judgment? Because God was with Jesus to father his life. Wasn't he? Who brought Jesus out of the grave? God. What did the world say about Jesus? God isn't with you. Because the world was blind. Here we are all blind. This one guy sees. He sees. John says he's the only guy who's known God. He's the only one who's seen what it means for God to be Father. He's the only one who sees that God desires to father his life and people free from their works. He's the one guy who sees. He's in the midst of the world that's blind. The blind world is telling him God isn't with you. For judgment, Jesus came into the earth. He's on the cross. He sees he's bringing the judgment into the earth. He sees God as Father. He cries out, Abba, and then God shows up and raised Jesus from the dead. God fathers his life in Jesus when he raises him from the dead and glorified immortal flesh. That's the judgment that God was with him. God was with him. God is his Father. God did father his life in him. That's the verdict, isn't it? Well, didn't we need that matter decided? Because the death and the darkness in the world, you know what it told us? God ain't with you. You know the first thing I heard when I heard the serpent tell me, you can't pray that over yourself. You're not Jesus. You know what that equaled? God isn't with me. I'm all alone. You know, when I was a little boy, I ran like a maniac. And I broke all these national records and had all these scholarships lined up because I could run like a maniac. Now, let me be the first to tell you, I couldn't run like a maniac and break all these records because of my own goodness. Do you know why I could do it? I thought God was with me. I really believed it. I was a little boy. My parents raised me to know God. And I believed God was with me. And so when that gun went off, let's go. Let's go see who can suffer the longest, because I knew God was with me and he would carry me to the end. Well, what happened in one of the races is I got a horrible injury during the race and I couldn't run and finish. I walked to the finish line. I was so far ahead, I still finished second. But you know what the worst thing that happened because of that injury was? You'd think, so what? It's one race, Greg. You've ran 200 races and you won them all. You lost one and you finished second. Why has that torn you down? I could never run the way that I ever did ever again. Do you know why? Because the serpent come and said to me, it was never God. It was always you. God's never been with you. And immediately I was like, oh, I can't do anything. That's where the world was. And we needed that matter to be decided. The judgment that is revealed in the resurrection of Jesus is God's with you to care for you and to nurture your life free from your works. That's the judgment. When God raised Jesus from the dead, that's the declaration. God is with us to be a father to our lives. Do you know what a father is? A father is someone who nurtures their child with their life. They nurture their child with their life. They have a life in themselves, and that life is the provision that cares for the child. It protects the child from harm so that the child's life can prosper. I don't know if you guys realize it, but whatever life your parents had in yourself was like a hedge about you, right? And whatever nurture you received or you think you didn't receive was as a result of the life they had in themselves. And so that's what a father is. They have a life in themselves, and that life is the provision for the child, to care for the child, to nurture the child. And that's what allows the child to prosper or for their life to flourish. That's what a father is. That's what a father does. Now listen, man, we all know this intrinsically, but our lives require a certain kind of care. Our lives require a certain kind of care. And I don't just mean in the sense of we need to eat vitamins and stuff. I'm talking about in the sense of we long for peace and love and joy. We long for our comfort, our affliction to be comforted. We long for these types of things. We long to believe our life has been protected. We long to believe that nothing can steal from our lives or harm our lives. We long for that kind of a thing. We require a certain type of nourishment for our lives to prosper, for our hearts to prosper. There's a certain kind of care we need to see that's being taken for our lives in order for us to flourish. We're in need of seeing that we'll be clothed upon with life. We are in need of that. We need our lives to be clothed upon. We need to be clothed upon with life. Don't you know Adam was naked? He needed to be clothed upon. There was a certain care he needed. And the care that he needed was he needed to be decorated with the glory of God's life. That's what we need. We're in need of someone to serve us with peace and love and joy. That's what we need. We're in need of our lives being preserved from the death that's in the world. We're in need of being comforted from the affliction that's in the world. We're in need of someone to defend our name against all the accusations that come against us from the world. We're in need of someone to justify us. We're in need of the death that sin manifested in our flesh being healed. We're in need of those kinds of things. We're in need of our hearts being circumcised from the fear of death, from the sting of death. We're in need of those types of things. Now, when God raised Jesus from the dead, by manifesting his glory and his immortality in Jesus' physical body. That's how he raised Jesus from the dead. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, what happened there is it issued a decree to the world. You know the care that you need? You see all of it in Jesus, don't you? Well, we see the care that we need manifested in the flesh of Jesus, and we see it was by God's doing. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it issued a decree in the world. You know what it told us? God is with us to father our lives. Do you know what it told us? He's with us to give us the kind of care we need. You know, Jesus called himself the Son of Man more times than he called himself the Son of God. Do you know why? Well, I mean, he knew he was the Son of God, but we were in need of identifying with him so that we could see ourselves in his face. Jesus is the Son of Man just like us. You guys realize that, right? So we can see ourselves in his face. We see Jesus on the cross. And we see he's in need of the same kind of care that we are needing for our lives. He needs to be clothed upon. There's a bunch of people accusing him. There's a bunch of people trashing his name. And that's what we see. We need care. There's a bunch of people trying to destroy him. Death has come upon him. That's the same kind of care we need. There's death in this world. That's the same kind of care we need. So we see the same kind of care we need, Jesus needs when he's hanging on the cross. And in the resurrection, do you know what we see? God caring for Jesus. And we see him issuing a verdict or an edict or a decree that God was with him and with us. We see God raise Jesus up out of the grave and glorified human flesh, never to taste death again. We see God with Jesus to prove his sonship in the midst of a world coming against him. We see God rebuke Satan's accusation against Jesus by glorifying Jesus' flesh with his immortality. We see God do all those things. You know what that does? Shines a light into the earth, revealing God as Father to all people. It issues a decree about God. It issues a judgment about God that he is with us to be a father to our lives. You guys haven't been counting, have you? If I'm the one that's right, then I get the door prize. We thought God was a deadbeat dad, to use worldly language. We thought God was a deadbeat. Any of you ever thought God was a deadbeat dad? I mean, listen, my religious mind would never allow me to say that because for a while I thought that I would be struck down. But if I'm just being honest, there's times where you feel real angry, like God hasn't come through. Where's God? Does he love me? You ever felt like, does God love you? Well, that's the world trying to tell you God's a deadbeat dad. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, what it does is it issues a judgment to us that God is the father we always dreamt of. We actually dream of having a certain kind of a father. I don't know if you guys realize that or not. We actually have in our hearts a dream of having a certain kind of a father. Why do you think we're so hard on our fathers? I crucified my dad for many years. Over and over again. Well, the reason why is because our life needs a certain kind of care, and we desire a certain kind of father. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he revealed that God is the father we always dreamt of. It issued a judgment that God's not a deadbeat dad. He's with us to father his peace in us. That's what it issued. And you know what it did when God raised Jesus from the dead as the Son of Man? Healed our blindness. Healed our blindness. Thank you, Father, that you're with us. Not theoretically, not just because it's written on some paper, but you're here with us right now. Thank you, Father, that you can see into everyone's heart here. You can see all the things that are hurting their lives. You can see all the things that are coming against their lives. You can see all the things that are trying to torment them and bother them. I just thank you, Father, that your arm is not shortened by this world, that you're not at the mercy of the things in this world that come against us, but that you're greater than the things that come against us in this world. I just thank you, Father, you can see exactly what each person here needs. And I just thank you, Father, that you manifest yourself to them in their lives as Father, that if they need strength for weakness, that you manifest your strength in them, that if they need joy for sorrow, that you manifest your joy in them, that if their body needs to be made whole, that your wholeness manifest in them. I just thank you, Father, that you're with each of us to reveal yourself to us, that it's your good pleasure. Father, our heart is that we would know you, that in all the things we think we want, really we're just wanting to know that you're with us and that our lives are okay. I just thank you, Father, that you're full of power to persuade our hearts that you're with us, that our lives are in your hand, that our lives are being upheld by you, that you're with us to father life in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. You guys are awesome. I love all of you. God loves you. The Father loves you. Jesus entered the earth.